Welcome to Stock Stories, episode 112. Welcome to Stock Stories. This is the podcast dedicated to helping you, the individual investor, make better investing decisions. And we do that on the show primarily by studying case studies of real companies. We're going through the entire S&P 500, and we also look at mental models. What are the philosophical underpinnings of our decisions, and how does that affect our investing practice? So those are the two main things that we cover on this show. My name is Alex. I am your host and I am your stock storyteller. Thank you so much for joining me today. And lots been going on right now. So today I'm going to do a different episode. I just kind of want to catch up on current events a little bit. I want to talk to you about what lessons that I am learning right now and have learned so far about investing during a time of crisis, because we certainly are in a time of crisis right now, not just in my home city, not just in my home state or country, but in the entire world. There's a lot going on right now, and a lot of people are scared, a lot of people are worried. There's a lot of uncertainty in the air, and it's certainly affected the markets, it's affected everything, it's affected people's ways of life. People are losing jobs. There's a lot of uncertainty right now. So I want to talk about that, investing lessons during times of crisis. So during this episode, I'll be covering a few different things. First, I'll talk about a background of what is going on right now, just a summary of what is actually happening with the coronavirus generally and also with markets. Next, we'll look at some lessons learned during the current crisis and what we can do as investors. How are we empowered as investors to make decisions during this time? So there's some lessons there. And then at the end, I'll talk about a few businesses or industries that I think there's a lot of opportunity in right now for investors. What is out there in the market right now where I think that there's some significant opportunity, some significant upside, particularly for the longer term investor. I think there's definitely opportunity out there right now. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about investing during time of crisis. All right. So investing during a time of crisis. First, a little bit of background. So I, first of all, caveat, I'm not a medical professional of any kind. So everything I'm about to share with you is just what I've learned, what I've read, just some basic knowledge. If you're not already aware of the current situation, this is a summary of what's been going on. So there is a virus, a novel coronavirus. It's called COVID-19. It is spread worldwide. And as of the time I'm recording this, this is late March 2020. It's infected over 317,309 people, killed over 13,643 people. So far, over 96,010 people have recovered. So a lot of people have recovered, thankfully. Just about 4% of infections have resulted in death, and about 30% of infections have been fully recovered. Those people have fully recovered. The rest are either in some stage of recovery or in critical condition. And the thing about this virus is that it tends to be most fatal to vulnerable populations, such as the elderly in particular, and also people with chronic health conditions. So we are in a state, in summary, we're in a state of a worldwide pandemic right now. And it's kind of crazy. It's something that I've never experienced in my lifetime. I don't think my parents or even their parents have ever experienced in their lifetimes. So this is something that is kind of uncharted territory for, I think, all of us right now. It's trying to figure things out. So that's the basic situation. Governments around the globe are taking precautions to limit physical movement and empower their health systems in order to slow the spread of the virus. Now, slowing the spread of the virus means it will likely last longer, but that's good because then less people will ultimately get infected and die. That's kind of the basic principle behind social distancing. So the less we physically interact with each other, the less likely the virus is to infect more people and less people will die. So right now, I'm in my city here in the Midwest. It's in the United States, and movement is severely limited right now. I mean, I go outside with my family just to really just get groceries, get food. I waited in the grocery, waited in line outside of the grocery store the other day just to get into the grocery store because they're limiting the amount of people that can exist in the building at any one time. So people had to form a line in order to safely, you know, get our groceries without too much of a physical density of people in the same place. So pretty much just go outside for that, go outside to see family, and that's pretty much it. It's just staying in the house. Thankfully, I can work from home and my wife can work from home as well, which is a huge blessing and privilege. There's a lot of people out there right now who don't have those options. So just staying in the house, really, because things are crazy out there, and this virus can spread very, very quickly. Now, there are two kind of potential outcomes of what's going on right now from the virus perspective. So number one, the virus either dies out, either from people's immunity or from a vaccine that's developed. And that could take probably 18 months to 2 years, somewhere around that time frame. So it's going to be a while before an actual vaccine is developed. Or the virus could continue to linger on and just become a regular respiratory virus. It could kind of like stick around. It could also mutate. That's definitely a possibility as well, which could be good or bad. Could be bad in the sense that it mutates into a form potentially that spreads faster. I don't know. I'm not sure about the scientific reasons behind that. It could also mutate into a version of itself that is more deadly, but also harder to transmit between humans, which would in some ways make it safer for us, right? Because, you know, if it's harder to transmit, there's less of a worry of passing it on to others, and physical movement is not as big of an issue. So hopefully all of this can be over soon and we can get back to our regular lives, but this is a very real issue right now. So we are in a crisis. Now, turning our attention to the investing side, how has this impacted financial markets? I haven't really talked about this in the past month or several weeks, but I've been watching the markets very closely. There's been a lot of turmoil. We had a lot of record-breaking days, record-breaking weeks, I believe, and just things are changing a lot. So when things move in the stock market, they move fast. And so far this month has been a very powerful example of that. On March 9th, the Dow fell by 7.79%. On March 12th, the Dow fell just shy of 10%. On March 16th, the Dow fell just shy of 13%. And those are all in a single day. I mean, this is incredible. This is more than Black Monday in October 1929, which, you know, sparked the Great Depression. And also compare these numbers to Black Monday of October 1987, which was also a really big down day in the stock market where the Dow fell over 22% in a single day. So a lot of the biggest one-day losses in Dow Jones history specifically have occurred in the past month. And it's just been a time of extreme volatility. So here at the end of March 2020, we are now officially in bear market territory. And the definition of a bear market is a 20% drop or more from a previous high. And the thing that's unique about what's going on right now is, I mean, it's a bear market just like any other bear market, right? You know, the stock market does correct and it does go down. This is normal. This is what happens. But one thing that's different about things a little bit this time is that it's happened very quickly. So this is the fastest bear market in history. It's happened in only 20 days for the Dow Jones Index and 21 days for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. Sometimes bear markets manifest over much longer periods of time. They can take over a month, maybe a couple months, but this happened really fast. It happened within a period of a couple weeks. So those are just kind of some of the things, broadly speaking, that's going on with the market is, yeah, stocks have dropped a lot. not all stocks, but the indexes in general, the indices, the market itself has erased a lot of value. And I know, I don't know about you, but I know on my household's balance sheet, a lot of money has gotten wiped away in paper losses. So notice I said paper losses, not realized losses. Although, you know, sometimes there are those too. But yeah, largely due to paper losses. So that means that the shares that my family owns, we still own them. And we'll talk about some strategies in a minute. So before we move on from this background, I also want to talk about oil. Yeah, there's also been a lot going on specifically in the oil industry. I mean, there's a reason that I've been talking about the oil super majors the past several episodes, and I still have a few more episodes I want to do on the remaining oil majors. There's a reason I've been talking about this. It's because oil prices have just plummeted. I mean, they went from $53 a barrel to about $22 a barrel in about a month's time. So that's where we're at right now. That's a 58% decrease in the price of oil. Huge, huge shock in the commodities markets. But again, this is not something that is really that out of the ordinary. This tends to happen. Fluctuations in the price of commodities is very normal, especially with oil. Now, the oil major stock prices have been decimated since everyone expects major losses going forward. So this is something that has brought the price of the oil majors down a lot. And if you are willing to stomach investing in cyclical companies, then there could be a lot of opportunity right now. I mean, that's the reason I've been talking about oil for the past few weeks. For example, ExxonMobil, ticker symbol XOM, it's down over 54% for the year, currently yields a 10% dividend yield, trading at around $32 a share. Chevron, ticker symbol CVX, down 51% for the year with a 9% dividend yield, trading just under $60 a share. Now, ConocoPhillips, they're not technically an integrated supermajor anymore because they spun off Phillips 66, but I'll include them here anyway. ConocoPhillips, they're down 59% for the year, and they yield just over 6.5% dividend yield at $26 a share or $27 a share. Eni, or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, ENI, which is ticker symbol E, which is the Italian multinational oil and gas company, they're down 50% for the year, and they're yielding over 12%, almost 12.5% at $15 to $16 per share. Royal Dutch Shell, we talked about them, they're down 60% for the year, and their current dividend yield is 16.7%. at around $24 a share. I mean, this is crazy. Total, we had an episode on them last week. total, ticker symbol TOT, they're down 54% for the year, yielding just under 12% dividend yield at around $25 a share. British Petroleum, ticker symbol BP, down 54% for the year as well, yielding just under 15% dividend. And their stock price is just over $17 a share. So pretty much as a group, the integrated oil and gas majors have just plummeted in the 50 to 60% range. And notice their dividend yields actually are very different though. So the stock price decrease has been similar for these companies, but the yields are different. Now, why is that? It's because of safety. It's because of balance sheets are different. Reserve replacement ratios are different. Remember, we talked about those kinds of metrics in past episodes. So it's not all about growth, it's about safety. So that's what I think about, specifically when I look at things like the dividend, especially with oil majors and commodity-driven businesses. So you have differences, right? Like, we'll just not talk about ConocoPhillips because they're not fully integrated. I just want to use them quickly as an example. But of the remaining oil majors, the dividend yields range between 9 and 10% for Chevron and ExxonMobil, all the way up to 15 and almost 17% for BP and Royal Dutch Shell. And the reason for that is that, for example, ExxonMobil, they're probably the safest as far as their balance sheets go. I mean, they have a strong credit rating that actually I think got downgraded a little bit, but they still have one of the strongest credit ratings in the business. So their dividend is safer, I believe. But Royal Dutch Shell and British Petroleum, they also have a possibility of really high returns just because their yields are so high. So if they can maintain these yields, and even if they have to decrease a little bit, there's still a lot of money to be made. But that is a big if. So these corporations are more vulnerable because they have a lot of debt, and also oil prices are really low. So they may not be making any money for a couple of years. They may be losing money. So this is something to keep in mind. So that's kind of why I think there's some differences between a lot of the oil majors. I know we've been talking about them a lot lately, so I just wanted to insert them as part of today's episode, because just to provide some context, because they are, as a subset, a big part of what's going on in the market as a whole right now. And that's one of the reasons I've been talking about them so much, is because I think for longer term investors, there's a lot of opportunity there if you're willing to hold for a very long time. Got to add that caveat. So now let's move on to the next part of the episode. I want to talk about what we can learn as investors now, because these are trying times. These are things that are really impacting us. They're impacting our lives. So we need to know how we can best act in a rational way, in an optimal way for ourselves and our families when it comes to investing. And today I'm going to share with you my opinion. So with that background out there, you know, we have coronavirus, we have a panic going on right now in the markets. I just checked the markets this morning and it looks like we're in for another down day. So what are the lessons that we can learn? Number one, nothing matters in investing if you cannot remain solvent during times of crisis. Nothing matters. If you cannot stay solvent just financially and as a person, then investing doesn't matter at all. So please stay safe. Number one priority, take care of your family and your physical welfare first. This comes above everything else. Do you have food? Do you have shelter? Do you have your household essentials, etc.? So as I mentioned before, I had to stand outside in a line outside the grocery store the other day with my wife because of social distancing requirements. It was necessary, right? We had to get groceries. And even though we showed up right when the grocery store opened, there was already a line of people trying to get food, right? Because it's just supply and demand, you know? There's only a limited amount of people that can be in a building at any one given time right now. So that's just something we had to deal with, but we had to get our groceries. So please take care of yourself first, take care of your family first, and make sure you're physically healthy. Because again, if you don't, you know, it doesn't matter if you buy shares of XYZ Corporation, it really doesn't. So I just wanted to put that out there first, because I think that's really the foundation. If you're not in a place of financial solvency, then you can never reach financial independence. It's just a prerequisite. So make sure you're taking care of yourself and your family. And as part of that, have some money set aside for emergencies. To me, this is critical. It's just personal finance 101. It's critical before you even think about deploying more capital toward investments, right? So have some money set aside for times like this. If you do need to make big decisions, whatever that may be, have some cash and savings. So that's what my first piece of advice would be. Number two, assuming you got that stuff taken care of, now we can focus on the investing stuff. So number two, have general business and investing knowledge. So one of the reasons I'm able to take action right now during this crisis as an investor is that I built up some general knowledge about business and investing and about the stock market. So now is not really the time to do a lot of research. It's the time for execution. Knowledge is power. Specifically, applied knowledge is power. And you can't apply any knowledge if you don't have any. So that's why you and I, we've been going through this journey together of studying companies one by one, of studying mental models one by one, so that we built up this catalog of dozens and dozens of ideas and dozens of companies. So guess what? Now you and I can take action because we have that. So for example, if there's a stock that you see in the market and you think, you know, maybe you learned about that business at some point, but you forgot about it, go and see if there's an episode on it that I've already recorded in the back catalog of this podcast and just listen to it again. I know I've done that for myself multiple times before buying shares of a company. Is I just want to remind myself what the business does. And that's part of the reason that I create this podcast for you, is to act as a reference, a catalog of sorts of different business models and different businesses and stocks that are out there. So knowledge is power. Draw from your existing set of knowledge. Number three is have as much liquid cash as possible ready to deploy. So have it ready, have it in cash, have it in your brokerage account, ready to go. If you have money, but it's in your bank account and you want to transfer it to your brokerage account, depending on the situation, it could take up to a few days to transfer and quote unquote settle into your brokerage account. And that could mean missing out on opportunities. Now, in this situation, I haven't really seen that too much. I mean, it seems like we're still on a downward long-term trend, at least for now. So you probably have a little bit of time to transfer that money over. But sometimes in the stock market, things get crazy. Sometimes stocks go down and then all of a sudden they go up really fast. And then, oh, you just missed your entry point. So try to limit the possibility of missing your entry point as much as possible by having cash in your brokerage account ready to go. And I'm having to deal with this now, actually. I made this mistake recently. I'm waiting for some funds to settle right now. They should settle later this morning before I buy some more shares, because I made some purchases last week, exhausted the funds in the brokerage account. So now I have to replenish it, moving money from the bank account to the brokerage account. So that takes a couple days. So just have as much money ready to buy shares as you can, because that will really help with being able to execute when you want to execute. Number four, prudent capital allocation matters. So think about capital allocation. So right now, the stock market is suffering, right? We're going from this period of overvaluation to a more sane level of valuation. I won't say fairly valued, I won't use that term, but I would say a more sane valuation level than we had before. But if you look at other markets behave differently, right? You could look at real estate, you could look at gold, you could look at bonds, you could look at a number of things. I mean, right now, my family, we don't own any bonds right now, but that's because my family's particular strategy is very specific. We have certain goals in mind. So you have to know what's going to work well for you. If you're panicking right now because your portfolio is declining rapidly and is invested completely in stocks, you should probably consider balancing things out with different asset classes going forward. Some people are comfortable holding the vast majority of their net worth in stocks and just riding it out. Some people, that would make them very nervous. But given the fact that you're listening to a podcast called Stock Stories, you're probably okay with holding stocks for a long period of time. So just know yourself and make sure you have prudent capital allocation practices. So I'll say for me and my family, stocks are the primary asset class that we invest in, but it's not the entire picture and it should never be. Stock markets can in fact close for long periods of time. So there can be periods of time when there's no liquidity in your shares and you're forced to just hang on to the ones that you've got, even if you want to sell them. For example, there are multiple times in the past few weeks where the New York Stock Exchange was halted, for example, on March 9th and March 12th. And this happens when markets drop by 7% in a single day. The NYSE takes a 15-minute break in trading to put a pause on things temporarily, because they don't want the market going into a nosedive free fall like it did on Black Monday in October 1987, when that Dow fell 22% in a single day. The market does not want to do that. Or I should say the people running the exchanges do not want to see that happen. So there are some things in place to halt the market when things are going down very, very fast. So another thing is that the market can close for more than just 15-minute periods, right? In the past, the American stock exchanges have closed down for numerous reasons, everything from terrorist attacks to wars to presidents dying to nationwide celebrations. And these periods have lasted from less than a day up to several months. So think about events like World War I and World War II. Stock markets typically were closed for a long time during those periods because there are higher priorities of the nation. So you have to be prepared for situations where stock markets are closed, and they can and will close in the future. And this is one of the reasons I advocate for owning the highest quality businesses around, because if you own the high quality businesses, it won't matter nearly as much if you can't sell those shares, because you're probably not even trying to sell those shares, because those businesses are profitable, they're growing over the long term, things will work out very well for you. So that's one of the reasons I advocate for quality, because yeah, if you own shares of a corporation that is of poor quality, if the market is closed, you may want to unload those shares because the company starts failing. And guess what? You can't, because there's no exchange with which you can trade your shares in with a buyer. So keep in mind that stock exchanges do close. And another thing about this with capital allocation is have other sources of income and assets available, if at all possible. Like, do whatever you can to have other sources of income and assets. So this pandemic will likely impact many asset classes, but having non-correlated sources of returns, it still matters a lot. So anything you can do to diversify in a smart way, in an intelligent way, is a way to have prudent capital allocation, and that will help you going forward. So number five, stocks behave differently during different times. So one thing that you'll notice if you look at the market right now, there's a lot of different changes, and in general, the trend is down, right? In general, the markets are down. But that's not true for all stocks, and it's not true for all stocks in the same way either. So there are some different things that are going on. Some stocks are getting hit harder than others. For example, take a look at airlines right now. Airlines are just getting slammed because nobody wants to fly. And in fact, many people cannot fly because of international travel bans and things like that. So the airlines are getting hit super hard. Cruise companies, I mean, geez, like Diamond Princess, people infected on the Diamond Princess. Cruise companies, no one wants to take a cruise. There's a lot of fear around that. Travel companies of any form, really. And energy companies, we've already mentioned a lot of the energy companies. So some stocks are just getting hit really hard right now. And that those are some examples. On the other hand, some stocks resist panics. Think about the consumer staples sector. Think about companies like Hershey and Sherwin-Williams. Are people going to stop painting their homes or their cars? Maybe a little bit, but not that much, because it's just something that you do. There's some correlation, I believe, with, you know, home construction and booming economies. People are obviously going to purchase more of those items than during times like now. Yeah. But at the end of the day, people still need to use paint for things. So yeah, I think that's going to continue. Are people going to stop buying Reese's peanut butter cups? I don't think so. I think people are going to buy chocolate regardless of whether or not there's a pandemic. So there are things like that. Now, another sector, though, to consider is consumer discretionary. Consumer discretionary businesses are getting hit especially hard. So what I mean by that are things like the cruise companies, really, like travel companies. When you have a business that is considered kind of a luxury, or it's not like an essential thing that people really, really need. Like when I walk into my bathroom and I brush my teeth in the morning, I'm using Colgate toothpaste. Colgate Palmolive makes toothpaste. I'm going to use toothpaste every single day of my life till the day that I die. That's not going to change. But am I going to go buy a motorcycle all the time? No, I'm probably not going to go buy a motorcycle if we're in a recession. I probably wouldn't buy a motorcycle anyway, but you know, that's just me. But some people really love motorcycles. So a company like Harley Davidson is getting hit especially hard right now. I mean, take a look at the stock price. It has a strong brand name and produces great motorcycles, but no one is going to go out and buy motorcycles during a global pandemic, especially if it leads to a general recession. Now, businesses like this, they can recover, but it can certainly take time. So think about, you know, the Harley Davidsons of the world. Think about company like Ford, like car companies, or Toyota, or Nissan. People are not going to want to go out and spend lots of money on items like cars right now because, well, number one, people are told to stay in their homes and not really move around that much. So that's part of it. But also, where do you think that cash is going to go? It's going to go to the essentials. It's going to go to the toilet paper. It's going to go to the toothpaste. It's going to go to the cartons of eggs and the milk and the bread. That's where people's money is going right now. So just know that consumer discretionary businesses are going to get hit especially hard right now. But that could be an opportunity for investment if you have a long enough time horizon and the situation makes sense. And then number six, it's impossible to know how long a panic will last. So prepare accordingly. Remember, you and I, we have no idea how long this thing is going to last. We have no idea how long any panic is really going to last. But we can prepare as if it's going to last a very long time. So invest like you will never be able to sell the shares of the companies you are buying. Invest like you will never be able to sell the shares of the companies you are buying. And instead, eventually you'll be rewarded with a share of the profits of that company. So this is kind of like a mental framework here. Even if your company in question doesn't pay a dividend, imagine that eventually they will. Imagine that eventually you'll get a cut of the profits by holding that stock, by participating in the success, the eventual success of that business. So think like a business owner. People who own businesses are focused on solvency right now, small and large businesses alike. There is talk right now of bailouts at the small business level and at the large multinational corporation level. Bailouts are being talked about right now, and there's just a lot of uncertainty. How, you know, who's going to remain solvent, who's not, who's succeeding, who's going to fail. But think like a business owner, because when you purchase a share of stock, that's who you become. You become a business owner when you own shares of stock. So when you think like that, it's a little bit easier to make decisions, especially during markets like this. Remember, the quoted market value of any share of a company, it only serves two purposes ever. Either to be taken advantage of or to be ignored. So when you look at a share of a company and you see a certain price, well, are you going to take advantage of that or are you going to ignore it? That's it. That's it. So just remember to think like a business owner, plan for the long term, because we do not know how long this situation or any panic or epidemic or pandemic will last. So those are my six pieces of advice for times like this, times when things are really stressful. How do we act as investors to make the best decisions? Hopefully that is helpful to you. I want to also share some closing thoughts on just some things that I'm seeing in the market right now, things that I think could be opportunities. Now, some of these opportunities I've acted on personally, some I have not. It just depends. So make sure that you do your own due diligence and research, because remember, I'm not responsible for your financial decisions and you're not responsible for mine. So here are some things that I think are going on right now in the market that are kind of interesting. So first, I've already mentioned the oil majors. I'll mention them again. I think the oil majors offer a lot of potential for long-term investors, but you have to have a long holding period. If you're going to buy shares of a large oil company and expect to sell it for a profit 5 years from now, I don't know, because those types of companies have cycles that are so long. You really need to hold those things for 20 years or more. So if you have a 20-year or longer time horizon, I think the oil majors could offer a lot of potential. Now, don't get me wrong, it could continue to be ugly for a while though. So you'll just have to live with that. But just collect your dividends, reinvest your dividends, and just keep it moving, you know? So that's one idea I have for you. Another idea are travel companies. So travel companies like the cruise companies are being hit especially hard right now. I mean, I saw the price earnings ratio on some of these stocks like 3 and 4 times earnings. And I was like, what? Now, don't get me wrong, those earnings are going to collapse for a while. The thing is, the stocks are being depressed so much because people don't know how long those earnings will collapse for. So because there's uncertainty, that's what creates the opportunity, right? So take a look at how much the prices have declined relative to how much earnings are likely to decline. And then ask yourself the question, are the valuations worth it? And that's something that I need to investigate further. I need to investigate these companies that they've been on my mind a little bit. And when this happened, I was like, oh man, maybe I should really study these companies a little bit more. So another thought is that some industries are not only surviving, but are prospering during this time. Think about medical companies. So think about a Johnson & Johnson. Are people going to stop buying Tylenol for their family? Probably not. Are they going to stop buying Band-Aids? Probably not. You know, you can go on and on with the products, especially the consumer-facing ones. So some industries are actually thriving right now, and for good reason, because they're providing services that people really need right now. For example, think about paper towels and Kleenex and toilet paper and tissue paper, I should say, instead of Kleenex, because that's a brand name. But yeah, tissue paper, paper towels, and toilet paper. That industry is booming right now. Everybody wants toilet paper. Toilet paper is like gold right now. I mean, I stepped into the grocery store the other day. Like, my wife was doing a dance because we got some toilet paper, right? Like, this is considered very valuable right now. So the paper companies are cranking these things out. I actually have a friend who works for a paper company, and he's going to work every single day, all right? Until he's told he can't go to work, he's going to work every single day. Why? These companies are producing paper products that you and I want desperately right now. So think about industries like that, companies that are in high demand at this time, that are really recession resistant, that are pandemic resistant in a certain sense, and that's just, you know, there's some interesting ideas there. All right. Another thing I've been thinking about specifically within the consumer discretionary category, within the media category, is a company that I think has grown to become one of my favorite companies. And I'll just specifically mention them by name. Disney. They've closed their theme parks for now, and they pulled back some movie releases for now. And that's disappointing, right? I mean, there are some movies that I was trying to see by Disney that they pulled out of the theaters, but life will go on and we'll see those movies later. And, you know, there are some families that wanted to take their kids to Disney World right now, but they can't. But life will go on and they'll be able to do so at a later date. So investors are panicking about Disney. I mean, Disney's stock price has fallen to below $90 a share and further. And I'm thinking like, wow, this is a great business. It's trading at less than 15 times earnings. To me, it's obviously cheap. Now, again, I got to add this caveat. I'm not making any recommendations. You do what you need to do for your family. I'll do what I need to do. But from just an objective perspective as I can, looking at this right now, Disney is trading cheaply. And it's not the only example. There are many examples of companies right now that I think are trading below what they should be trading for from an intrinsic value perspective. So again, think about your own risks, your own time horizon. But yeah, I think that it's a potential opportunity. There are also other companies that I'm probably going to be buying this morning, or one company in particular that I think is trading below intrinsic value. So just look for those opportunities and take action as much as you can prudently do so. So those are some closing thoughts on the markets and different industries and sectors right now. Hopefully you find that useful. Remember to do your own research and due diligence, of course. But those are my thoughts on investing during panics. And not just specifically the coronavirus, but anytime that there is a panic or some sort of a crisis, and this happens every several years, right? There's always some sort of a crisis of varying levels of severity. This one, I think, is very serious because it's a health crisis and it's global in nature. So it has some unique risks and challenges. But just remember, when you're investing in a crisis, take care of your own family first. Make sure that you have some general business and investing knowledge, right? Have that catalog of knowledge. Make sure you have as much liquid cash as possible ready to invest. Make sure you're prudently allocated from a big picture perspective. And remember that stocks behave differently during different times. So some stocks are getting hit hard right now. Some stocks are doing okay. Some stocks are actually doing well. So take a look at different segments of the market. And then also remember, it's impossible to know how long a panic is going to last. So prepare accordingly. If you're going to buy businesses that you plan to hold for a very long time. In the case of specific long-term investing strategies, that is. And that's not to say that, you know, you shouldn't trade right now, because, you know, my family's trading stocks right now too. But as far as the long-term investing aspect of things, Just keep in mind that this is going to be a long ride. So be prepared to hold your shares for a long time, both the ones that you currently own and the ones that you plan to purchase right now, if you do plan to purchase any. So that's just a summary of the things that I'm thinking about right now. I hope it's helpful to you. So that'll conclude this episode. My name is Alex, and I'm your stock storyteller. Thank you so much for letting me speak with you today. And I hope that I offer some good insight here. Let me know what you think. You can hit me up on Instagram at Stock Storyteller. That's at Stock Storyteller. Or you can email me at alex@stockstoriespodcast.com. So I'm definitely grateful for your feedback. If you've got any questions or comments on this episode or any ideas in general, I would love to hear them. Most of the time when I hear from you guys, it's mostly, hey, can you do this stock? Can you talk about this company, etc.? And I love getting those. But I also want to find out what's going on in your investing life. How is this crisis impacting your investing? I would love to know. So go ahead and send me an email or a DM on Instagram at Stock Storyteller, and I love to have a conversation. So stay safe, take care of your family, and please try to make the most out of these times right now. I know it can be hard, but just try to stay safe and keep your spirits up. These times will pass on, and happy investing. The information presented here on Stock Stories is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only. You and you alone are responsible for your investment and financial decisions. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, or financial advisor that can analyze your specific situation in the context of your goals and circumstances.